Okay, let's get started with Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perakeh. We have now transitioned from the time period of Eli to the time period of Shmuel, and the Aron has been taken by the Plishtim. We didn't note the uniqueness of that event in the last parak. We'll mention it now. That is the only time in history that such an event ever happened. No time before and no time after. Even during the times of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when Bavel and Rome destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they did not take the Aron. The Aron is buried underneath the Kodesh Kadashim way before Bavel touched the Beis HaMikdash. So this was a one-time in history event that the Plishtim were able to take the Aron, and the punishment of Am Yisrael was to lose the Aron. So we have to realize the uniqueness of the previous parak. So this parak describes how what happened to the Plishtim while the Aron was in their watch. The Plishtim have it, and wherever the Plishtim put it, destruction occurs. They put the Aron first, as we'll read, in the house of their Avodah Zarah called Dagon, and they wake up in the morning and Dagon is face flat down on the ground. And they lift him up, and the next morning they come back in, and Dagon's head is chopped off, and his hands and feet are chopped off, and they realize, you know, this is something unusual. We'll get to their amazing reaction to this when we read the Pesukim. And the people of Ashdod, where the Aron was, start getting sick with a unique type of illness. And they said, we can't have this anymore. So what do? They send the Aron to the next Plishti city of Gat. And in Gath, the same thing starts taking place. People start getting afflicted by the sickness. Then they send it to a third city, Ekron. And in Ekron, not only are they getting sick, they start dying. They're like, forget this. We don't want this Aron. We need to send it back to Bnei Yisrael. That's the parak. And then the following parak is going to be about how they get it back to Bnei Yisrael. That's the parak. So let's see what messages we can glean. Even as an introduction to this whole parak, this is something that we're probably going to have to refer to a number of times, and probably the question is better than the answer, or at least just the ha'ara. The Plishtim could be the most common enemy that Am Yisrael has had throughout history. The Philistines. If we look throughout Tanakh, it starts way back from the time of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu already, Vayekanu Oso Plishtim. The Plishtim were jealous of him. Back in Bereishis and Yitzchak. Right, what happened? They fought over the wells. Yitzchak and the Plishtim. In Sefer, in Yehoshua. Parak Gimel, beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Elu Agayim Asher Iniach Hashem Lanasos Behemes Ha'ar Yisrael Chameshes Sarnei Plishtim. We know in the times of the Shoftim, a number of times. Besides, there was Edom, Ammon, and Moab, and all the other, Midian, all the other enemies. But the Plishtim came up, just as recently as Shimshon, in the times when he had to destroy them. Remember, Shimshon's wife, Plishtim alacha Shimshon! The Plishtim are coming, the Plishtim are coming! And as well, here in the times of Eli and Shmuel, in the times of Shaul, we will read, Beth Shem, in a couple of Prakim, when Goliath comes back onto the scene. He's already been there once, last parak, when Shaul grabbed the Luchos from Goliath. And of course, in the times of David, the Plishtim are still there. So I'm not sure if it's the Plishtim or Amalek who win as the enemy of Am Yisrael, but the Plishtim are here over and over again. What is the unique symbol of the Plishtim? Well, we don't know so much about the Plishtim in the text, but we do know one description of them in the Psukim. In Parak Yud of Bereishis, it says, V'ez pasrusim, v'ez kasluchim, asher yatsu misham Plishtim. The Plishtim came from the pasrusim and the kasluchim. So the Medrash Tanchuma in Vayeshev notes that it doesn't say that they gave birth to the Plishtim. It says that Plishtim came out of them. How did the Plishtim came out of two different families? Says the Tanchuma, Lohodiyah shein kulan b'nei zima. Elu megan v'nu shaseyem shal elu, v'elu megan v'nu shaseyem shal elu. This was a people born out of znus, born out of licentiousness. This is the root. The root of their existence is tumah. And that's what they bring to Am Yisrael. And maybe that's why they're the ones that are always fighting us. Because they're symbolic of tumah, of znus, of lack of morals, a lack of rules. That's what the Plishtim are. And therefore, over and over again throughout our history, they're the ones that come up. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Ad Hayom Hazeh. We still have the Plishtim that we're dealing with. A different form of the Plishtim, but Plishtim nonetheless. If you look in the Be'er Moshe, he has a long discussion of this in Perek Yud Zayin, where he notes that Plishtim, more than any other nation, are called Arelim in Tanakh. They're called Arelim, and when Goliath is called this Arel, but many times the Tanakh they're called Arel, that also might be connected to the fact that they symbolize Tumah. Okay, so now let's read the parak. Uplishtim lachuas Aron ho'elokim. The Plishtim took the Aron, they brought it from Eben Ezer to Ashdod. There are five Plishti cities. Three of them are mentioned in this parak: Ashdod, Gat, and Ekron. Those are the three. There are two more. We'll have to get to the Gat is Kiryat Gat. They're all right there in the west side, right near Gaza. There's Gat there, Ashdod, Ekron. They're all there, and we'll have to get to the other two. What did the Plishtim do? Vayichu Plishtim et Aron Elokim. They put it in base Dagon. We are now introduced to the Avodah Zarah of the Plishtim. Dagon. What is Dagon? So one of two ideas. One can suggest it's from the word Dagon, wheat. And they must have had a big idol that they considered the idol of sustenance. And that's why they called it Dagon. Rashi and the Radak say it has to do with Dag, the fish. Right? All of these cities, if you think about them, they're all on the coast. They probably made their livelihood with fish and other issues, other parnasa related to water. So they had the god of the fish, right? Dagon. Rashi says, Dumus asui kimin dag. It looked like a fish. It was a large statue. The Radak says the top part of it was human, the bottom part of it was fish, right? It was like a mermaid, a huge statue that they worshipped. Vayatzigo asaitel dagon. And they put the Aron next to Dagon. Why did they put the Aron right next to Dagon? So it says the Medrash two opinions. Fascinating two opinions. Reb Yochanan v'Reish Lakish. Machlokas. Reb Yochanan Amar Kibdu. Reb Yochanan says they got the Aron. They realized this is an unbelievable item that they got from Am Yisrael. They wanted to give a coven. So they said, Ze Eloa v'Ze Eloka. This is their God, this is our God. Let's put it together. This is the God house. This is the God house. That's where they put it next to Dagon. So if that's their Kavana, so you have to explain why they were punished so badly. You might say, even if they treated it in Mechuba, they still took it. It's still disgusting for the Aron inherently to be next to this other idol. And therefore, that's why they were punished. Even if they didn't have negative intentions where they put it, but still, they had to be punished for it to get, for the covet of the Aron. Not as much as an onesh for them. That's one opinion. Reish Lakish Amar? No. V'kachai b'scharan. Reish Lakish asked that kashan, Reb Yochanan. What if this is their schar? Right, that they're going to get this terrible disease, as we'll see? Ela Amru? Rather, Reish Lakish says, you know why they put it there? Zen notseach v'zen natsuach. This is the victor and this is the victim. Yavo natsuach v'yavo lenotseach. Let this Aron, this loser, put this loser next to our God, Dagon, who won. Now we know why they got punished. Right, if you put the Notzeach next to the Natsuach, they're deserving of punishment. That's the Medrash, two different opinions right here about why they put it there. So what happens? Exciting. Vayashkimu Ashdodim, Mimacharatz. The Ashdodim wake up in the morning, v'nei Dagon, nofel upon Avarza. Dagon is face down. Face down. Right, as we know, Chazal tell us that when Hashem punishes a nation, He punishes their gods also. Right, that's why in Mitzrayim, Rashi tells us, right, in the Mitzrayim story, all the gods of Mitzrayim were also, they melted at Makas Bechoros. They all melted if they were made of metal. They were all destroyed if they were made of rock. They just crumbled. So here too, Dagon, no fellow fun of Artsa, Lefnei Aron Hashem. And what they do, they walked in? Unbelievable. What should have been their reaction? Oh, Dagon fell down. Let's put him back up. They lift him back up. It's amazing the stubbornness of Ovdei Avodah Zarah throughout history. Next, Vayashkimu Baboker Mimachras. They wake up in the morning, Vihinei Dagon Nofel Afon of Artsa. He's again face down, but this time his head's chopped off. V'rosh Dagon V'shtei Kapos Yadav. His hands, the Krusos El Hamiftan, they're cut off and they're put on the threshold of the door. Rak Dagon Nishar Alav. Right, that's it. It's cut off. So what they start doing, this is an unbelievable reaction. What do they start doing? They start staring at the miftan, at the threshold, where the head and the hands are chopped off. They're like, oh my goodness, there's power in the threshold. And they start worshiping the threshold. Unbelievable. The heads chopped off. They're like, wow, there must be a greater power than this Dagon. So they start bowing down to the threshold. Look at the next pasuk. Alkein lo yidrchu kohani Dagon. They never stepped on the threshold anymore. They walked over it because it was kadosh. V'chol aboyim beis Dagon al miftan Dagon v'ashdod ad hayom hazeh. It is a ludicrous reaction. What they did, their god is chopped up, and they start worshiping the piece of ground where it was put. But that is their reaction. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah even used this as pasuk in a fascinating way. We know there's a halacha called Bittul Avodah Zarah. If a Jew, Rachmana Lislan, has an Avodah Zarah, then that's usur forever. It's usur to benefit from that idol forever. Let's say a Jew bows down to a shofar. He worships a shofar. So that shofar is usur bahana'ah. Could you use it for a mitzvah, right? Mitzvah's bala handles it new. That's a good question. But let's say a tree, anything. A Jew worships is usur bahana'ah. What about Avodah Zarah that a non-Jew worships? So there the Gemara tells us there's something called Bittul. Yeah, as long as the non-Jew nullifies the Avodah Zarah, it can lose the status of Avodah Zarah. What do you have to do to nullify it? Maybe you have to break off a piece, maybe you have to declare something. Different forms of Bittul. The Gemara asks, in Avodah Zarah, daf mem aleph amabez, what happens if an Avodah Zarah breaks by itself? Is it automatically considered batel? Is it nullified? The non-Jew did nothing. It happened by itself. It was an earthquake, and the Avodah Zarah fell down and broke to pieces. Is it automatically batel or not? Machlokes? Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reb Yochanan Amar. It's interesting to try to think about whether these are connected to the previous machlokes. Reb Yochanan Amar Asur. Reb Yochanan says it's still Asur. It's not called Bittul. Reish Lakish Amar Muteres. Reish Lakish says mutter. What's the nukudas amachlokas? The Gemara continues. Reb Yochanan Amar Asura to Halo Batla. Reb Yochanan says it's Asur. There has to be an active nullification by the guy. If he doesn't nullify it, it's mutter. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar Muteres. Why? Mistama bitule mavtule. Mistama, if it fell down in pieces, obviously the guy is going to get the message and know that his Avodah Zarah is nothing, and he'll give it up. That's the machlokas. So obviously, it's an obvious question. It's obvious for us because we're learning Sefer Shmuel. But the Gemara asked that. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, what's your svara? It's obvious if the idol breaks by itself, the guy is obviously going to get the message. What about the plishtim? Meisve, asked the Gemara, Eisve, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Verosh Dagon, Vishte Kapos Yadav, Krusos, Vixiv, and what's the next pasuk? They started worshipping. Alkemo Yidrichu Koani Dagon Vechulu. So they start worshipping. The threshold. So obviously they didn't get the message. So how is that possible? So you see, Reb Reish Lakish is asked to by Reb Yochanan, it's not true what you said. Amr lo, he answers, Misham Raya, no, that's not true. They did realize that Dagon is not powerful. But what did they do? They started worshiping the threshold. But not that they were worshiping, they realized Dagon was meaningless. They started worshipping the floor. The Amri Hachi Shavke Israel Dagon Vasi Esav Lala Miftan. Wow, the gods must have switched from the statue to the floor. But that's his answer. But our psukim are used in a halachic discussion there in Avodah Zarah in Perek Mem Aleph. Fascinating application. But as we'll continue now, so we see the ludicrous reaction, they start worshiping the floor. So what happens? Vatich bad yad Hashem el ha'ashdodim. Hashem started to see if they would get the message with the idol itself. They didn't get the message. So now Hashem has to move closer, right? We have the same idea by tzaras. Hashem starts in the houses, then goes to the clothing, and then goes to the body. So what about here? He started with the idol, didn't work, now he goes to their bodies. What happens? Vayachosom batichorim. This is a very unusual, not too often does this happen. We usually have a kri and a ksiv in Torah. Sometimes you have words that are written one way and pronounced a different way, but they're usually, it's, you know, you're missing an aleph, a vav, something like that. Here, it's a different word. It happens a couple of times in Tanakh, Parshas Kisavo, various reasons. But here, the word, how do we have it written? Beis ayin fei lamed. And you read it, beis tes ches resh, totally different word. They were afflicted with tichorim. What are tichorim? It's a disgusting illness where, Chazal explained, when one is relieving themselves in the bathroom, rodents enter your body while you're going to the bathroom and start eating at your intestines and then exit your body. Right, Tchorim, it's terrible, it's painful. That's what happened. Vayachos about Tchorim as Ashdod. Right, it's translated in the English as hemorrhoids. But it is not just hemorrhoids. Hence, hemorrhoids are external, but this is internal. As Ashdod as Guleah, so the Ashdodim are like not happy with having this Aron, and they said, we've had enough. Vayirachi Asho Kichain, they say, out with the Aron of Am Yisrael. So what happens? No, they send it to another city. What, they think the Ashdodim are Rishayim? They send it to another city. Why Dafka did Hashem make this specific punishment? So if you remember in the last parak, in parak Dalid, we mentioned that Chazal tell us that some of the Plishtim were saying, oh, this God, he used up all of his Makos already in Mitzrayim. We don't have to worry anymore. Hashem says, you want to bet? You know, I'll give you another makkah. We'll see if I've run out, if my bag of tricks is empty. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them another makkah, and this is what occurs. Just one halachic issue before we continue the story, and that is, there is a halacha that we know that when you read the Torah, you have to read it min aksav. You have to read the Torah not by heart. If a Balkori is not allowed to look away when he's reading the Torah, sometimes it happens at the end of an aliyah. You know, somebody, they know it, the pasuk by heart, so they'll read the last psukim as they're closing the Torah already. They're not going to be looking inside. That's not correct, right? It says one's supposed to look at the words of the Torah, every word that's being read. Fine. And if there's a mistake in the word, so then it's a problem. What happens in this type of word? And you have them in the Torah too. This type of word, it's a different word than what you read. So you're looking at a word, but you're reading a different word. But that's considered bichsav. That's good. That's what you do. Even though it says ba'afalim, you read it ba'tchorim. You still have to read it. Again, this is Navi, but in the, we have some parallels in the Torah as well. Reb Moshe Feinstein though has a tshuva where he discusses on. Remember, in the days of old, this was much more of a common shiloh before electricity. There were candles all over the place. That's how you had light. So there was wax all over the place. So there was a story, there was a case. What happens if on Shabbos they found, they're reading the Torah, and there was a piece of wax that was on a letter? A piece of wax that's on a letter. So are you allowed to remove that on Shabbos? And what happens, Rav Moshe's case is, it was on a Shem Hashem. So now what? If you start taking it off, if you like take off a little too much, you're going to be erasing Shem Hashem. So could you just like read it? After all, you know what word is under, so is that good enough? So Rav Moshe discusses, what about a similar thing like our case? You have a different word and it's considered minaksav. So this should be good enough. Says Rav Moshe, Niralini is daiti, she is chilik gadol, bedina, binatav shayv al shem havayif. If there's a piece of wax on God's name and you don't see the letters, v'hu b'shabish she'en yucholim lahasir. You can't remove that. When it happens to a different word, you have to take out another Torah. But here you can't. And he quotes the Yishkaven, Yishkalena. This is, if you want to look up the discussion, Arachayim, Chelek, Aleph, Simin, Lamed, Beis. But relating to our type of case, where you have a different word than what is read, versus a case where the word is there, you just don't see it for some reason. Okay, so let's continue. So what happens? The Ashdodim don't want the Aron, so they send it, they get the Sarnei Plishtim, they get the elders, and they say, what should we do? They said, send it to Gat. So they went to Gat, as in Kiryat Gat, and they go there, and what happens? Hashem makes a Mehuma Gdola Ma'od. All of a sudden, they all get sick with this illness. It sounds like it's even worse. Why is it even worse? And the third city, they're going to even start dying. Why? So it's the answer is because it's a fulfillment to the Rambam. The Rambam says, it's Mefurish Rambam, in Ilchas Tainus, the Rambam says, whenever a tragedy strikes anywhere in the world, but especially Am Yisrael, we have to start thinking, why is Hashem doing this to us? Where could we get better? In what way could we improve? We can never say we know for sure, but we can look for ways to improve. And the Rambam says, V'davar zemi darki atshuvahu, whenever a tzara happens, we have to look inward. Shebizmacha tavo tzara, viyiz aku aleha, viyareyu, whenever a tzara happens, we have to daven. Yeit'u, hakolam, we have to all know, shebiglal ma'aseim aram hu ravahem, it's because we have to improve. But if we don't, what if we say, things happen, there's nobody running the world, you know, about im lo yiz aku, v'lo yareyu, if we don't daven, that's not our reaction. Ela yomru davar zemi minaga olam yiralanu, things happen in the world, tragedies happen. Vitzara zenikra nikres. Hashem, the Rambam says, you know what's going to happen to God? It's like, you didn't get the message? I'm going to make it worse. And I'm going to make it worse. And I'm going to make it worse. That's the Rambam. That's exactly what happened in this parak. right? The Aron is screaming out for its own kavod. So the first city gets sick. So what happens? They say, okay, go to the next city. The next city, it's even worse. What do they do? Go to a third city. They don't get the message until finally, after the third city. But let's continue. So what happens? They keep sending it around, and the city of Gat is finished. It has this disgusting illness. Vayishalchu es Aron Elokim Ekron. They send it to Ekron. And what happened in Ekron? People start dying. People start dying. Ki haisa mehumas maves b'chol ha'ir kavda ma'od yad ha'elokim sham. Right, there's a death in the city, and all of a sudden, right now, the people decide, you know, we got to send this back to Am Yisrael. So the Rinas Yitzchak of Sorotskin, he notes that, why didn't the people start dying in the first city? Maybe you could say that Hashem didn't want to make it so extreme at the beginning to give them a chance, but it could be that Hashem had in his mind, there was a certain time that there was Nigzar, and even the Midrashim even talk about it, that the Aron had to be by the Plishtim. 7 months, as we will see. 7 months the Aron was by the Plishtim. So it couldn't be any shorter. So if Hashem would have caused death at the first city, they would have sent it back too early. So Hashem, only in the last city, knew this would be the final straw. At this moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time, and they get ready to send the Aron back. Period. And the next parak is going to be about the actual sending it back. There is a fascinating ha'ara that we mentioned in Parsha Shir recently, but we'll mention it now as well, and that is the Rambam does not describe the building of the Aron in the Halachos, in Sefer Avodah, when he describes all the other Kalim, how to build the menorah, and how to build the Shulchan, and how to build the Kiyar, all the Kalim, he doesn't say anything about the Aron. Why not? That's the first Kli, that's the most important Kli. And the answer given by a number of Achronim is that there's no mitzvah, ledoros, to build an Aron. What, we're going to build an Aron? An Aron, by definition, has to have the luchos in them. It's not like a kli like other kalim. A menorah is a menorah, even without the oil in it. The kiyar is a kiyar, even without the water in it. An Aron is meaningless without the luchos inside. And we don't have the luchos till Mashiach comes. The luchos are in the Aron, buried underneath the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore there's no mitzvah forever to build the Aron, because there's only one Aron. Shlomo HaMelech built 10 menorahs and 10 shulchans. He did not build another Aron. In Bayesheni, why didn't they just build another Aron? Because another Aron makes no sense without the luchos. The luchos give the definition to the Aron itself. And one final point, the Aron was needed to be buried in the second Beis HaMikdash underneath the ground. It couldn't have just gone to Galus. Why? Because a Beis HaMikdash, just like the Aron makes no sense without luchos, it's not called an Aron, a Beis HaMikdash makes no sense without an Aron at its center and the luchos inside. Because all Kedusha in the world flows from Torah. All Kedusha of a shul flows from the Sifrei Torah in the Aron. All Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, all Kedusha of Yerushalayim flows from Beis HaMikdash, which flows from the Aron, which is still there, Ad HaYom HaZeh. And that is why, that is the root. The root of all Kedusha flows from Torah. Like we know, the Gebraisa tells us in Megillah, the difference between Tashmishei Kedusha and Tashmishei Mitzvah. What's the difference between tzitzis, shofar, sukkah, which can be thrown out after you use them, versus tefillin and mezuzah, and tefillin boxes and mezuzah case? Those have to be buried, because those were connected to Torah. And anything connected to Torah has eternal Kedusha, and that's why it is considered Tashmishei Kedusha. And that's exactly what the Aron symbolizes. The Aron is the center of our Kedusha, the root of all our Kedusha. And the Aron in this parak was screaming for its own honor. And that's why the Plishtim were punished and motivated to send the Aron back to Am Yisrael after 7 months of the Aron being in Galus. Okay, we'll stop here. Next time we'll see what happens when the Aron is sent back to Am Yisrael.